Greetings again, brothers and sisters. It's Pastor Bob, and it's time to go Roman through Romans. I've got a feeling I'm going to get tired of that pretty quick. But anyway, it's only day two, so let's hang in there with it. Yesterday, we heard Romans chapter 1, and might be worth listening to again. I'll give you a little nugget of information about chapter 1 that's really the center of the chapter and maybe the center of Paul's whole theology about justification by faith. How are you justified before God? How do you stand before God? How can you be seen, even seen as worthy one like you before God? And of course, the Jewish law for centuries said it's by works. It's by how you live, what you do, what you wear, how you eat, if you're circumcised, if you know the law, if you follow it. Anyway, on and on with the laws, justified by obedience to the laws of God. And of course, what we found in the Old Testament is what we all already know in our hearts. None of us are justified by our works. We all fall short. So if that's the standard, then none of us can stand before God as worthy. But it's in chapter 1 of Romans. And I'm going to read you the Message version of verses 16 and 17. That's where we're talking. Chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I'll read you the Message version that I read yesterday. And then I'll read you the, I think, NIV version, which is going to be a language you're more likely to hear this message in from Paul, that indeed it's not works that justifies you, as he said in the beginning of chapter 1, remember, what that does to us? We're in a living hell trying to be justified by works, right? Indeed, it's not that, but it's our faith. It's trusting in God. Here's how he said it in yesterday's chapter, verses 16 and 17. It's news I'm most proud to proclaim. You may have heard, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's the Message version of that scripture. It's news I'm most proud to proclaim, Paul says, this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts him, not who lives the right way according to the rules and the laws and the history of the Jewish people, but God's plan is to rescue everyone who trusts in him. That's faith, people, who trusts in him, starting with the Jews, Paul says, and then right on to everyone else. That's us, folks. Paul goes on and says, God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith. Acts of faith, not works. Confirming what Scripture has said all along, he says, the person in right standing before God by trusting him really lives. Amen. So just to give you an idea of what those verses sound like and what you're probably more used to hearing, such as the NIV, here's how that comes out in the NIV. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. So this whole idea of justification by faith instead of works is the revolutionary, radical theology of Paul, that indeed the Jewish laws and rules are now obsolete with the coming of Jesus, and now we live by our faith. We trust in God because of who God is and what God has done for us. How are we justified in faith? Through Jesus Christ, and that's why he came. So let us lead now into chapter 2. Amen. Chapter 2 of Romans. As we've already heard how tough life can be without God in chapter 1, let's start in chapter 2 with Paul describing to us how God is kind, but not soft. God is kind, but not soft. Let us begin. Paul says, those people are on a dark spiral downward. But if you think that leaves you on the high ground where you can point your finger at others, think again. Every time you criticize someone, You condemn yourself. Oh, can we put that up on a banner in church? Every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself. It takes one to know one. Judgmental criticism of others is a well-known way of escaping detection in your own crimes and misdemeanors. But God isn't so easily diverted. He sees right through all such smoke screens and holds you to what you've done. You didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard? Or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he'd let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. You're not getting by with anything. Every refusal and avoidance of God just adds fuel to the fire. And the day is coming when it's going to blaze hot and high. God's fiery and righteous judgment. Make no mistake. In the end, you get what's coming to you. Real life for those who work on God's side. But to those who insist on getting their own way and taking the path of least resistance, fire. If you go against the grain, you get splinters. Regardless of which neighborhood you're from, what your parents taught you, what schools you attended. But if you embrace the way God does things, there are wonderful payoffs. Again, without regard to where you are from or how you were brought up. Being a Jew won't give you an automatic stamp of approval. God pays no attention to what others say or what you think about you. God makes up his own mind. If you sin without knowing what you're doing, God takes that into account. But if you sin knowing full well what you're doing, that's a different story entirely. Merely hearing God's law is a waste of your time if you don't do what he commands. Doing, not hearing, is what makes the difference with God. When outsiders who have never heard of God's law follow it more or less by instinct, they confirm its truth by their obedience. Let me repeat that verse. When outsiders who have never heard of God's law follow it more or less by instinct, they confirm its truth by their obedience. They show that God's law is not something alien, imposed on us from without, but God's law is woven into the very fabric of our creation. There is something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. Just a sidebar, you know, many times people tell me, I want to know Jesus, but the one I keep hearing about is not really what I believe in my heart. It doesn't sound right. It's not true to something inside of me, that voice inside of me, right? Yeah. Paul says there is something deep within each of us that echoes God's yes and no, God's right and wrong. He says their response to God's yes and no will become public knowledge on the day God makes his final decision about every man and woman. The message from God that I proclaim through Jesus Christ takes into account all these differences, Paul says. And then he finishes chapter 2 with a section that we'll call Religion Can't Save You. Religion can't save you. Paul goes on, if you're brought up Jewish, don't assume that you can lean back in the arms of your religion and take it easy, feeling smug because you're an insider to God's revelation, a connoisseur of the best things of God, informed on the latest doctrines. I have a special word of caution for you who are sure that you have it all together yourselves, and because you know God revealed word inside and out, you feel qualified to guide others through their blind alleys and dark nights and confused emotions to God. While you are guiding others, who is going to guide you? I'm quite serious. While preaching, don't steal, are you going to rob people blind? Who would suspect you? The same with adultery. The same with idolatry. Oh, you can get by with almost anything if you front it with eloquent talk about God and His law. The line from Scripture, "It's because of you Jews that the outsiders are down on God," shows it's an old problem that isn't going to go away. It's because of you Jews that the outsiders are down on God. Today that would read this way: it's because of you Christians that the outsiders are down on God. Well, Paul sums up chapter 2 this way. Circumcision, the surgical ritual that marks you as a Jew, is great if you live in accord with God's law. But if you don't, it's worse than not being circumcised. And the reverse is also true. The uncircumcised who keep God's ways are as good as the circumcised. In fact, better. Better to keep God's law uncircumcised than break it circumcised. Don't you see? It's not the cut of a knife that makes you a Jew. You become a Jew by who you are. It's the mark of God on your heart, not of a knife on your skin, that makes a Jew. And recognition comes from God, not from legalistic critics. Amen. Wonderful chapter 2. God is kind, but not soft. And religion, friends, can't save you. But, spoiler alert, Jesus can. And Paul knows that from personal experience. Amen.